I'm Doug Williams.
That was like a Houston missile launch
That's
that
true.
We just got from our producer. Doug Williams alongside Andy Martino. This is the Shea Anything podcast. If you aren't already subscribed, again, we're talking to this weird group of weirdos.
Hey, did you ever listen to the John Harper episode yet that I hosted?
I still have not.
Man, well, now there's no point. We talked about the Beatles a lot because Harp turns out to be a big Beatles fan. And I got invited to do this Beatles podcast to talk about Hard Day's Night, which I'm so excited
about. From that podcast?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty
so
cool.
So excited.
That's awesome. You are a big Beatles fan, I can confirm. You've got the Beatles figurines when you do the Skype interviews.
That's right.
You're always playing Beatles records in your home.
That's true.
I've been to your home twice, and there's been Beatles records playing when I'm there.
We kept it to my wife is like, honey, people don't like the Beatles as much as you do. So we kept it, like, the last time you came over, it was a lot of Stones. That may have a little bit more mass appeal in some ways, too.
Who doesn't like the Beatles? I mean, I know some people do it, the whole I don't like the Beatles thing, but, like, for the most part, you put the Beatles on at a party, everyone's happy.
Well, that's what I said.
And I think
you tell Ruby
you were playing some good Stones music on Sunday. We had Sweet Virginia, which is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. A lot of good songs. Anyway, what I was saying is if you aren't already subscribed to the Shea Anything podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us. We appreciate it. Remember, sny.tv/Shea Anything and Shea Hey to us. Speak to us, talk to us, yell at us, ask us questions, whatever you'd like.
Doug!
Wow, that genuinely scared me. I hope it didn't scare you all, as some of you are at the wheel.
He said to yell at you.
Andy and I had like a weird argument right before the show.
So if our
tone is off, that may be why. Look, we got in an argument based around Miguel Andujar on the Yankees, but it ended up spiraling into a different conversation where there was, I think, misplaced anger on both sides.
Okay, Mr. President. I mean, there are good people on both sides.
Oh, boy. I was hoping that wouldn't lead to that.
Well, you said both sides.
When it came out of my mouth. Okay, so what we're going to do today is Andy's idea via Brad Como talking about...
Not everybody knows SNY
Brad
personnel.
Brad Como's our boss. And, you know, it's about basically predicting next year's Mets team. So it went from Andy to, well, Brad to Andy to Jeff Goldman, who's producing tonight or today or whenever you're listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're going to actually execute this as best we can. So we're trying to go through the Mets lineup, their rotation, their bullpen in 2019, see what it looks like.
Right. And we're going to predict the team for next year.
What I will say is this, just going into it, if I may. His presentation of this comes with actual knowledge of some things.
That's right.
And having spoken to people who may know things,
uh-huh.
or maybe one person. Mine comes from just spitballing and looking at...
But Doug follows the team every day. He hosts Mets podcast. He's not a total outsider. He has access to people like Jim Duquette and Nelson Figueroa and Todd Zeal, who have information and insight for you. So don't sell yourself short.
Well, I just don't want people's expectations to be all too high for
you don't want MLB trade rumors to say Doug
right.
Williams
SNY's
is reporting.
Doug Williams. Like, maybe one day I will have someone in a front office that I have a very good relationship with, and maybe one day on Twitter I'll break something. But so I don't want to say that that's impossible.
Maybe you will.
But.
It's just like when Ira Dickey wrote his book before the 2012 season, there was a line in it in the introduction that said, I may never win a Cy Young Award. And at the last minute, he had his publisher take it out because he said, I don't want to say never. And then he won the Cy Young Award.
How about that?
Year.
All right, so we're calling this the way too early forecast, which is a great name for it because, you know, it is way too early. However,
that's in order to tell you that it's tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
We know it's early.
Right.
We're being ironic about our actually... what will turn out to be an earnest discussion, but we're hiding behind a sheath of irony.
Here's what I think we should do to parcel it up. I think we should just go position by position and each do our own. So instead of you just listing it and us each talking for 5 minutes, but we'll start with catcher and you can go first.
I have Kevin Plawecki sharing the position with Wilson Ramos. He's a free agent. Travis d'Arnaud. Obviously, at Tommy John, we'll see. I actually think that could be a non-tender candidate. Would have to look into that. I'm not reporting that. But he's up there salary-wise.
You have them sharing the job?
Plawecki and Ramo. Yeah, I mean, catching is like, it doesn't have to be like you're the guy and you're the backup. It's just like you got two guys.
But I feel like that would nothing against Kevin Plawecki, but it would very quickly become Wilson Ramos' job.
Probably because
he's
been
an all-star.
He's better. Yeah. Now he's coming back. He's a little longer in the tooth now. He's over 30. They like Plawecki. I think that would be a good compliment. A guy who you know can bring some offense. It's a free agent. The Mets have had interest in him before. That's really a free agent name that I think will be realistic for us to take a look at as a Mets possibility come November when this is an actual topic. So I got Plawecki and Wilson Ramos, and then I'm not totally writing off Darnold, but if I had to pick the two catchers, those would be the two I'd pick.
Okay, I'm going with Kevin Plawecki and Martin Maldonado. I honestly hope that the Mets sign Wilson Ramos just because he's been so solid. He's on the Phillies now, actually. I think he's about to come back. But Maldonado is just a very, very, very strong defensive catcher, and Kevin Plawecki is not. And if I'm just betting on the fact that the Mets are going to decide not to spend money at catcher, which they haven't done the last couple years when, in my opinion, they needed to. So I just think it's a good prediction to say that they're going to go get their next kind of Rene Rivera type to compliment Kevin Plawecki, finally give him the job for a little while, see how he does. That would be my educated guess.
Now, a couple of things. I don't think this is going to happen, but if you want that sort of Hail Mary pie in the sky thing, I just crammed a lot of cliches into that sentence. You could say take a Syndergaard and a Rosario and put together a big package for JT Realmuto, but I just think that another team will end up more aggressive on him.
I like JT Realmuto, but you look at his stats, if he wasn't a catcher, he'd be a very good player. That's it.
But he is.
But he is a catcher. Yeah. And he's improved drastically defensively ever since he came up, I think, as an infielder. I understand that his value is that he is a catcher. But, you know, his offensive stats are not worth throwing away some big parts of your team, like Noah Syndergaard.
Well, if you don't, I'm not saying I would make that trade. I'm just saying you'd have to step up with a big aggressive
trade.
I mean,
they haven't traded him yet.
Right.
Which is...
They haven't traded him yet. Maybe he's the guy they keep. Derek Jeter has indicated that, who knows if he knows what he's talking about when he opens his mouth, but he's indicated that they will keep him. I would, before we move on to first base, I would just say about Plawecki that, for the record, I'm not necessarily agreeing with your characterization of his defense. I think he seems to have some presence in how he manages a game, and he's growing into that. Right, not a great arm, but overall defensively, I think that there's something there. There better be, because he's not a great offensive player.
Right. I think offensively, I'd like to see more and see if he can get something going, get some sort of profile as an offensive player. We'll see. First base, I have Peter Alonso and Jay Bruce kind of platooning. I also have Jay Bruce in right field. I think he'll split time, which is exactly what he's doing in his rehab right now. Peter Alonso, I just think, would complement him well, get him some starts against lefties, really play him a decent amount, see what he is next year. I think it's a safe bet that next year will be the time where the Mets see what they have in him. And he's having such a great year right now. I'd love to see him up as soon as we can. But I think it's realistic to go into next year with him starting first baseman. Maybe a little bit of a stretch, but I think he's going to get a lot of reps there.
Jay Bruce is my starting first baseman and one of my backup outfielders. Peter Alonso, I have the same thing written down, Alonso/Bruce. But Bruce is the guy. Bruce is the established guy. If he's healthy, he's my first baseman. Peter Alonso, you definitely have to use next spring into season, like they've done with Dom Smith this year, unsuccessfully for Dom. They have to figure out what they have next year with Alonso. Obviously, the offensive numbers have been good. Just as obviously, if you talk to baseball people, and not just one baseball person, Peter Alonso, a lot of people are like, yeah, he's probably a DH. So now Peter Alonso would be like, hey, I'm working on my defense. I've gotten into better shape. He was what they call a bad body guy early in his minor league career, and obviously a lot of errors. He is looking better now by all accounts, but there's just a sense that he has to prove that he can actually play first base, and there's just a thought that he might be an American League player. Ultimately.
Here's something to keep in mind. This is something I feel like we talk about every week. What direction are Andy and I kind of sending the Mets in? Because we're going to get to our starting pitching in just a second, and it includes for both of us what would be a fairly big trade in the offseason. The Mets aren't getting any older. They're not necessarily, though, getting any younger. So I feel like in both of our projections for 2019, we're putting out a fairly similar team to the 2018 Mets, which is a risky proposition.
And in fact, I am putting into my projection a big move that I actually wouldn't necessarily endorse or predict is going to happen. I'm kind of doing it for the sake of when we put this together, it's like I want to include one major trade in here for fun and for discussion. So my lineup is more different than the reality will probably be more different from this year. Yeah. I mean, and that's a way of transitioning into saying I have Fernando Tatis Jr. at second base, shortstop, middle infielder, but I haven't traded Rosario yet in this plan. So I've got Tatis, who I've acquired from San Diego for Noah Syndergaard. We'll get to the rotation later. Fact is that the Padres and the Mets have talked about Syndergaard recently, closer up to the trade deadline than a lot of people realize. The Padres would not step up and send them a top prospect. People get excited about Mejia, the catcher. I have heard that Mejia may not make it as a catcher. He might end up at a different position, which limits his value offensively and overall. So I don't want him. I want Tatis in the fictional Syndergaard trade that I put together to project my roster for next year. It's not ridiculous to think they're going to trade one of their pitchers, by the way. And so I'm making it Syndergaard in this scenario.
Right. And it makes perfect sense. I have something a little bit more boring at second base. And I'll spoil it now. I am also trading Noah Syndergaard in my projection for this offseason. But I don't have it necessarily coming and affecting the big league club, that trade, starting after spring training breaks up next year. I still think that they'll acquire some minor leaguers. I think they'll make a trade with the Brewers. That's my projection.
It's a good projection. The Brewers would love a pitcher like that quality.
They've been struggling for a while without an ace, playing well as a team, but they just need that guy to put them over the top and maybe another either miss of the playoffs or loss in the wild card game or something like that will drive that front office and David Stearns to make a big trade for Noah Syndergaard. I have McNeil.
Did David Stearns trade himself for Noah Syndergaard?
Can front office members get traded?
Yeah, Theo Epstein got traded.
Yeah, they can. Who knows? David Stearns for
I will offer you me for Noah Syndergaard.
Can we get traded? Might be able to.
Theo Epstein David Stearns would not bring you Noah Syndergaard. He would bring you like Jeff McNeil.
Speaking of McNeil, I have him and Flores sharing second base. Again, not exciting, but I do think a lot of Mets fans are liking what they see.
Oh, they're excited.
From McNeil, and they're happy that he's up, and I would agree. I think watching him in play so far has been interesting, and I'd like to see that continue. So I won't go further into it, but I think McNeil and Flores get the bulk of playing time.
Oh, I've traded Wilmer. He's not on my roster.
Okay, Wilmer's not on your roster.
I've traded Wilmer in the offseason for someone. I don't know yet. I didn't go all the way there, but nothing huge, but I'm just saying, like, he's got value as a guy who fills a particular role. I've moved on from Wilmer. I'm trading him in the offseason with no cameras on him and no sense of what his emotional reaction will be in that moment.
Just for the sake of time, I'm going to go through quickly my shortstop and third baseman together because there's nothing for me to say. I think Rosario and Frazier are your shortstop and third baseman going into next year. Basically, my thinking there is that Frazier is pretty close to untradeable. There are some free agents that I would love to have play third base instead. There are a lot of other guys in Major League Baseball who I think the Mets would rather be playing third base, but still got 1 year left on his deal. Maybe he has a good year because he's in a free agent year. He's trying to make sure he gets one more contract before he retires. Mm-hmm. So I think Frazier's your third baseman, at least to start the year. Rosario continues at short. What do you got?
I have those two as well, which is a really uninspiring left side of your infield, obviously. But I do think I almost didn't want to put Frazier there because I do think that if there's anybody who's under a multi-year contract with them who they have a chance to move, it's probably Frazier. It would be either an underwhelming deal to dump the contract and move on, or it would be as part of a larger trade that it's impossible to envision.
Yeah.
He's like the throw-in to, hey, you have to take Frazier too. You might have one of those with Bruce as well. I'm sure they'd love to get rid of the Bruce money. Neither of those signings, of course, have worked out yet. So I almost wanted to go in a different direction with Frazier, but as of now, I'm with you. I'm just thinking he's probably going to be hard to move.
If they do get creative, like you said, and they include Frazier in a deal, and again, that would change. That trade would be so big that it would really change a lot of our teams.
Right.
But do you think Josh Donaldson is
I think it is such a weird situation. It's the same thing that killed his ability to be traded this year, of course, that lingering, I believe it's calf, the calf injury that keeps bothering him. And so he goes into the offseason, and you really don't know what you have. He probably has to reestablish himself on a one-year deal somewhere, and that would be hard to do with the Mets because they've got first you got to move Frazier.
Right.
Then you got to make that
I'm
Donaldson
including
work.
The Frazier if in the question. And the reason that I ask it is because I hate to say this, but it's a fairly Mets move to make because it's
no, like, I know what you mean.
It's
value.
Like, it's a value signing, mm-hmm. and you can try. You're adding an if, and the Mets have enough ifs, but that's the kind of move that they've made. Wow, we have Josh Donaldson. This is a guy who's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That is kind of a Mets move, at least of the Alderson era, where they've liked to find that what they see as value, which has worked out a few times, has bombed a number of times. Jason Vargas, obviously, being thrilled with his 6-3 team's loss the other night, which is a good example of things not going great in that way. So the one thing about Donaldson, though, is there's a lot of moving parts there. You have to first find a way to move on from Frazier, clearing the spot in the payroll, and then sign Donaldson. So maybe, but it would have to line up perfectly. Usually those things that you lay out, like, oh, this would make sense, doesn't end up playing out quite that way.
Want to do your outfield?
Sure. Not that interesting compared to, like, the different from this year. I've got Nimmo in right, Lagares in center, remember him, and Michael Conforto in left field.
Can I ask, Lagares, I have platooning with Nimmo in center. Okay. I have Jay Bruce playing a fair amount of right field.
That works, too.
But the thing about Lagares starting is that he hasn't done it since the year he won a Gold Glove. What was that, 2014?
And it all blends together.
Or 2013.
It was seriously, like, I don't know. I was so high the entire time.
Why would he start when he comes back from this injury? Like, if they're trying to get younger and they have these young outfielders and this outfielder that they can't move, why would suddenly Lagares be handed center field?
Because they need him. If Cespedes is still a Major League Baseball player, they don't need him. But he's not. It's until further notice.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could go out and start to look at. So, you know what? No, because you don't need to bring in an insurance to center field. Because one area of nice roster flexibility they have is that both Nimmo and Conforto can back up center field. So, and you've got Bruce. So you actually have a lot of positional flexibility in the outfield. And you can go in with Lagares as your center fielder. Maybe you want to bring in.
We thought that this year.
Well, fair. So maybe you want to bring in another outfielder if Dom Smith is still in your system, I don't know. Never mind. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
You ran into a wall.
I ran into a hard brick wall there. You bring in a veteran like they've been doing with your Marlon Byrds of the world. Another inspiring choice. But you know what I'm saying. Like, that's a depth piece beyond what I've laid out.
And I realize that I have not created a very sexy roster to this point, but I have them adding, like, Brandon Guyer from the Indians or maybe re-signing Joey Batts if you've seen enough and you like what
he's brought. He's hitting, like, 190.
I know. But again.
Austin Jackson's
been fine.
Maybe, like, someone like that.
All of those guys go in the same category where it's the Adrian Gonzalez effect. If you cut bait, you cut bait. But he gives you depth. And by the way, we were going into this year being like, who's going to play every day in the outfield? Your Brandon Nimmo's not playing like a fourth outfielder. Well, it figured itself out because Cespedes is gone. Jay Bruce has been gone for a while. Lagares is gone. So you've been left with Conforto and Nimmo, and Conforto has figured it out, luckily. But yeah, I have Conforto playing left. I have Nimmo playing center, and I have Jay Bruce playing right. And it's not exciting, but there are a couple other names in there, including Yoenis Cespedes. Because you can't. I mean, what are you going to do?
No, no, you have to assume that he's off the team and be pleasantly surprised if he ever plays for you again.
Yikes.
They wouldn't put it. They would object to that characterization.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, not cynical. You really think that?
I may have overstated it a tad, but I think he certainly, until he proves otherwise, he's done as a major league regular, certainly.
He hasn't individual surgeries on heels.
On each foot. Look, you played high school baseball. I played softball once recently. You need your feet.
Yeah. Can confirm.
Right. So Cespedes played, 81 games last year? Obviously not that many this year. So he's already done as an everyday player. like as of several years.
Yeah.
So leave him out of this until further notice.
And how about the fact that the heels, we are supposed to think that A, the heel surgeries will go correctly, and B, that it will solve the muscular issues he's been having. Because
yeah.
he said, my heels are responsible for the muscular issues.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to think, okay, so you get the surgically repaired heels, and that will help the muscles. There's just...
Yeah, look, Cespedes is not in our Mets conversation.
Right.
All that much more than David Wright is,
yeah.
I'm sorry to say. The problem with, I want to say before we move on from the outfield, this is not Austin Jackson's fault at all. Or Jose Bautista just seems like he's shot, but other than the occasional dinger. But it's like bringing guys like that back does have this, it's been such a bad year that they do sort of carry the stench of 2018. 100%
agree.
But that's not, like, if Austin Jackson emerges as a guy you could bring back for that outfield depth, he's actually perfect. So.
My argument, I see both sides of the Mickey Callaway argument of, you know, should he come back, should he not come back, or do you want to just move forward if you have a new GM? One of the main arguments, and it has very little to do with Mickey,
mm-hmm.
for letting it be a 1 year and done, is the stench.
Yeah.
You know, like, this season, the expectations it started with compared to what it's ended up being, I'm not sure you want a lot left over. And the problem is that as Andy and I are going through our teams...
There's a lot left over. And Callaway will be back as well. So that is what it is. Text from the control room. Let's see. Jeff says, forget the other topics. This is pacing and working nicely is the whole show. Just tag with Saturday Night. We wanted to bring our listeners in to like an inside
Jeff
view of what
Jeff has the
happens.
Ability, by the way, to get in our ears and discuss things with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it really didn't have to be a text. And we've screwed up the pace by engaging the text. So, you know, that's on us.
Starting rotation, Andy.
Oh, no, I have to open up the document.
That's fine. I'll go first. So
everything got ruined.
I saw Andy.
Wait. I'm not done. With the position players, I got two utility players, TJ Rivera and... Jeff McNeil. That's how they fit for me. I've traded Wilmer.
You've traded Wilmer. You got TJ off the bench. You got McNeil off the bench. Both guys like serviceable utility guys.
There you go. That's yes.
And you know, I'm giving McNeil second base. I don't know if he's deserving of that, but I didn't. I'm just full disclosure. This is like being in class and you know people mm-hmm. are handing in the homework. I don't have bench spots in my list. I didn't consider
what
that.
What can I say?
Just not put in the effort. That's on me.
I got 25 people listed in my
start. Do you actually?
Yes. What is this? We're doing a roster, aren't we?
Yeah. I guess I went with starting nine. I went with bullpen, whatever.
Starting pitcher. I think we got the same rotation.
DeGrom, Wheeler, Lugo, Matz, Corey Oswalt, and then I have Bartolo Colon on the roster.
Well, why not?
The amount of hard-throwing righties in the rotation would lead me to believe that maybe if you are going to use Vargas and he hasn't been giving you length in the rotation, just use him as a soft-tossing left-handed option as a long man in the bullpen. And he can.
You don't really have a long man in the National League, though.
Maybe not,
mm-hmm.
but the Mets could have, you know, have had a lot of nights recently where they could have used a guy to give him three or four innings.
That's true. You don't want
to. They've been using their... the last couple of years, their relief pitchers have been hitting. There's been weird
How
stuff.
How about Mickey
happening.
Callaway's ringing endorsement? I don't blame him. I wouldn't endorse him either. But if Jason Vargas is like, well, obviously he's going to be on the team. He's got a two-year contract.
Yeah, he did say, obviously he'll be on our team next year, which is interesting because we're talking about getting creative. They could throw him into a deal, you'd think.
A deal to where?
I don't know.
Okay, so is that your rotation?
Syndergaard is not in my rotation.
Right, we both traded Syndergaard.
I'm trading him to the Brewers, just specifically. They have this guy, their number one prospect, Keston Hiura. He's a second baseman. He just rakes.
Like there you
I watched right around the trade deadline, it was one of the prospect shows on MLB Network, and they were saying that, you know, there are some ifs with him, but I know that he rakes and he's going to be a potentially high average guy. And, you know, I think if you're the Mets and the Brewers engage you there, you're not in any position to turn something like that down. So that was my thought, and I know that your prediction that Syndergaard's going
to traded Syndergaard, too. I just wanted to demonstrate the possibility to trade one of the guys. Jacob deGrom might be traded this offseason. Zach Wheeler might be traded this offseason. Noah Syndergaard might be. Or, as it turned out at this trade deadline, it could be a lot of talking to other teams and no trades. So we'll see. But yes, is an example of this sort of thing that could happen. We both traded Syndergaard. That's not reporting that that's going to happen, to be clear. So my rotation is Jacob deGrom, Zach Wheeler, Seth Lugo, Roy Oswalt, Steven Matz. I have Matz/Vargas in the number five spot because in very, very different ways, neither of them can be counted on to, like, give you 35 starts.
Man, I was starting to drink the Kool-Aid again on Matz this year for a little while, and, you know, it just happens. It happens with him. It just keeps happening.
It is what it is.
You're right. By the way, I want Corey Oswalt to throw harder. It frustrates me. He's this giant guy who looks like he would throw 96, and he's throwing 89.
Maybe you should hang out with Bartolo. That's how you can throw harder.
But I like, there's a lot of interesting Bartolo comments happening next to me on this podcast. But there's a lot to be said about Corey Oswalt in that if he's boring, so be it. Like, if he's a 4.5 ERA guy, but he goes out there every time out, like, that's fine. At least he can give you some consistency.
I think I'd rather have DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Lugo, and Oswalt's my number five or swing guy in the bullpen, just to be clear. But you're right. If you had to plug him in the back of the rotation, you might be serviceable.
But you just said you'd rather have him in the back of the rotation. Isn't that what you just
said? No, I mean, like spot start / bullpen / 4A guy. I don't want him, like, I've got him, I just, looking at him, I'm realizing I traded Noah, so I've got Corey Oswalt is my number four starter in there every fifth day.
So you'd rather not, right. Just quickly.
It could work.
Just to go back to big picture, now that we're through our starting rotations and we're each trading Noah Syndergaard, my philosophy, if I'm the Mets, and what I think their philosophy will be, is not sell, not buy, but get a little bit younger through attrition and do trade Noah Syndergaard, but otherwise hope that somehow it works again. I don't think that that's necessarily the right strategy, but I think it's probably the safest bet.
I think it's the right strategy because it's what they have. And you can always blow it up in a year or two, but right now they have high-end starting pitching. I understand it's a whole other discussion and one that we've had before. But it's just like, you don't have to blow it up yet. You've still got this wonderful element of your team. There's no rush. Like, let it play out. Baseball will probably exist for another 25 to 30 years. You can go ahead and just try it out for another year. You've still got the
pitching. Baseball when I retire?
I'm just kidding.
That's a
bummer. It'll be all esports at that point. That's what we'll be sitting here doing. You know, this place is in on an esports investment.
I'm aware.
And you and I will be doing the esports anything podcast as old men because
League.
No one will care about baseball.
Rocket League anything.
Or basketball or football or real people doing anything.
My main Mets signing is in the bullpen, and we agree on the person.
Funny how you agreed on, we agreed on the person, but your email came in 10 minutes later.
Yeah, that is funny. It's like that meme where it's like, can I copy your homework? Sure, but change it up a little bit. That's
right.
Basically what my version of the Mets.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Because this one makes a lot of sense.
You don't have a lefty in your bullpen.
I know, and there's a reason for that. Mets people have said that they think that the era of the Jerry Blevins type pitcher is over. It's more about righties that can do both or lefties that can do both. So I didn't feel compelled to shoehorn in a lefty specialist like I would have when constructing past hypothetical rosters.
I think that's one of those things, though, that maybe a front office believes, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but it would drive a manager crazy.
Sure.
I know that's not what matters, but I feel like if you're Mickey Callaway and it's like, yeah, the front office guys are telling me that I can bring in, Bobby Wall and he can get out lefties just as well. Yeah, that would frustrate
me. I think there's something to be said for that guy coming from the left side, bending a breaking ball into the left-handed hitter. For those of you listening in the audio version of this, which is most of you, I just made a breaking ball and bat motion.
Yeah, it was
so
pretty.
You know what I'm talking about.
Honestly, it was vivid. It was like I was in the ballpark.
Right. So, but you're right. So, you know what? You were going to say, just for this purpose of this conversation, we were both going to sign Cody Allen.
Yeah.
But there's an argument to sign Zach Britton instead in that money spot if you want a lefty.
Terrible.
He's overthrowing right now. According to people who know how to spot these things, not according to my eyes. He's overthrowing because he's probably trying to generate a little bit of extra arm speed because he's still on his way back. So we'll see how that plays out.
I have the Mets signing Jake Diekman, just as Andy just said. Basically, that lefty to throw a breaking ball. do Mickey Callaway a favor and give him one lefty. It doesn't need to be a high-priced SAG.
Sure.
I have them signing Cody Allen as well.
Mickey's guy from Cleveland.
Right. Mickey's guy from Cleveland. Maybe Andrew Miller makes sense, too, and you don't have to sign Diekman so that he can kind of be that rover guy. Either way, I would like to see the Mets sign a fairly expensive reliever.
Yes.
Because this is really – that's all I'm saying.
So like another Anthony Swarzak.
Exactly. Give me a consistent, well-proven reliever.
So you've got – read your bullpen.
I have Gesellman, Wall, Bashler, Smith. So we both agree that Wall, Bashler, and Smith are the guys that the Mets have acquired. They want throwing 98 in their bullpen.
Yeah, right.
Have a couple
power arms, good stuff. Rame not making the cut for me.
No. Gesellman, Wall, Bashler, Smith, Swarzak, Cody Allen, Jake Diekman.
Okay, yeah, I've got Gesellman, Wall, Bashler, Smith, Swarzak, Cody Allen, Brad Ziegler. Kind of like I was like looking for a veteran guy, one-year deal to add something. I mean, that's just more of a type than a name was my purpose for putting that in. There's a million names out there. It's all about like whose agent you meet last at the winter meetings the day you decide to sign a reliever. So whatever, it could be anybody. Now, understanding, of course, that a bullpen is the type of thing that we all know this, but just to say, changes so much over the season. You'll see some Seawald again if he's still in the organization.
He's not getting anybody
out. No, he's not, but you'll see some Rain. You'll see other guys. You know, of course, there's just a lot of maybe guys that are in the lower levels who could emerge in spring training. So you'll see more guys than we're laying out like a snapshot of an early season day in the bullpen.
I think what these teams are that we've put out there are a place for the Mets' young players to get time, get a chance to prove themselves, while also providing basically Mets fans with any glimmer of winning. And it's one of those teams where, yeah, again, I hate to say it, but again, if everything goes right, yeah, the Mets could be good in 2019, the way Andy and I have put it out there. They probably won't be, but at least...
But make sure you watch SNY every
night. Yeah, please watch. But also, you know, maybe they won't be good, but you'll have the youth up there playing... And you'll be able to see what your future may or may not be.
Well, that's the easiest way for fans to turn on their youth, too, in any situation. Is like you can love on Peter Alonso when he's raking in double and triple A. Then he gets up here if he struggles and you hate him. Like that's kind of how these things go, you know?
Yeah. Well, I also suggested that we do a prediction of who's managing and who's the general manager.
Yeah.
Do you agree? I think Mickey Callaway will at least start the season.
Yeah. As Newsday reported, Mickey Callaway will start the as their manager.
I'm not sure.
That's the first time that I've made something out of it. I held my tongue when Newsday rewrote our story. Oh, never mind. Go on.
Yeah, actually, to be totally honest with you, I was not aware of what Andy was just saying.
Go on.
I guess something is.
I held my tongue until now.
Is that a? Can you say it's perturbed you, or are you just perturbed?
Good question. I felt perturbed. Something.
I don't.
No, you
think
say it irritated me, and therefore I was perturbed.
I think that's correct. I have no idea who the Mets GM is going to be, so I'm just going to say Ben Cherington.
I think that's as good of a guess as any. Let's take a moment and talk. Quick moment and talk about the GM situation because I think this is worthy of a weekly update until you know as it evolves.
Right.
The reason that I would, if you held a, not even if you held a gun to my head, if you put a gun in my mouth, I would cry. I would tremble, and then I would say, yeah, probably Ben Cherington. Get the gun out of my mouth. But, you know.
It's an interesting scenario because why would that person really need that answer from you that badly?
I don't know, but he did. So I said Ben Cherington, and I got out of that sticky situation. And the reason I said Cherington was because he checks more boxes than many of the other people who have been in this mix so far, who the Mets have... Internally, I feel like I've got a pretty good beat on the names that the Mets have kicked around, what they're looking for, what they're not. I think that the main thing is they don't know exactly what they want yet. Like, there was a story that they were turning away from analytics. There's no they are doing anything. There are conversations at this point. At some point, there will be. They've done something. But they're just, there's a lot of different ideas. There's a lot of different people having ideas. There's a lot of different types of candidates who they have speculated about internally or reached out to, and no approach has been cited on yet. That's the facts through what I is reporting that I feel good about. So if you have, we want someone with results, a bit of a traditional background with some scouting experience, a big market track record, and a facility with analytics, that's Ben Cherington.
Is there any chance that John Rico gets the job, A, and B, if the answer is no, is there any chance he stays on when someone else gets hired?
He's not likely, of course, as you know, to get the job. Is there any chance? Well, until something is final, you'd say there's a chance, but it is not good. It's been pretty strongly communicated to me through my reporting that it's an extreme long shot that he would get the job. And at that point, he would have to decide what he wants to do with his career and his future. And that's a decision that I'm sure he's thinking about. I'm sure he's not sharing every bit of that thought process with anyone. And that's just a personal decision for him to make. I certainly think that they should try to keep him.
Right.
Because he's a really capable. He's been the face of some bad moments that Mets fans have seen. But what he is very smart, very hardworking, very prepared, good with all kinds of detail-oriented things that no one else in there really does. And every GM needs a guy like that. They call it the rules guy. That's a little, John would want to be known as more than that, but he's good at that, meaning like you know all the MLB rules, you know how to work the waiver wire, you know all these things that someone in the office needs to know. I think he'd be a really good GM because he's just smart and able to listen to people. Baseball people like and respect him more than they typically do. Baseball people like your Terry Collins's and your Wally Backman's of the world like him more than they like a Sandy Alderson because John gives them respect.
Right.
That's a long way of saying that I think he should be a stronger consideration than he actually is.
Front office version of a bench coach who may make a good manager. He's experienced enough and smart enough to get the job. If he doesn't, he's experienced and smart enough to go elsewhere and get a job somewhere else.
Now, some other things quickly to names that have been floated. Gary LaRocque. Guy in St. Louis who was a longtime member of the Mets front office. I'd say that's a long shot. What are some other names that have publicly surfaced?
Dan Duquette.
Dan Duquette is someone who I think they should take a strong look at. He's got a lot of the skills that they need. He's in the mix. But again, all these guys, and you can go to the latest on MLB trade rumors of all the reports that have come out about all the different names. And what I will tell you about all of those names is it's all preliminary.
Okay.
It's still very preliminary.
Instead of my Saturday night to wrap this podcast up, we're going to do my Sunday night.
Oh, I see.
Because Andy was nice enough to have the Baseball Night New York crew, as many of them who could join us on Sunday night over for a little barbecue. It was very fun. We had Anthony McCarron in the house. We had Todd Zeal in the house. We had several of our producers and their families, Michael Flynn, Mike Robinson.
Doug hung out in the basement playroom with the children.
I did. I hung out with the kids. It was a fascinating dynamic because there were a lot of kids running around. And then there were, adults with much more established 401ks than mine. So, and I was kind of a rover. Like, I'm not immature enough to play with robots and toys and blocks. But I'm probably not mature enough to really hang at the adults' table and drink Chardonnay and discuss.
No, you are. Maybe you're still growing into that a little bit.
Maybe a little.
But you're an old soul.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Can you believe that Jim Duquette arrived with three Playboy Playmates on his arm?
Honestly, I can't believe it. It's Jim Duquette.
That's true. He comes up in a white limo with three women.
I didn't even think limos were really a thing anymore.
White limos are a thing with Jim Duquette, apparently. So he cruises in and it's just comes into my fur coat, cane.
Yeah, it was like Bruce Wayne.
That's right.
And by the way, the joke about that is that Jim Duquette, of course, did not come. He had the choice to take an Uber, which he thought would take too long and be too expensive, so he stayed in New York.
And I cooked and I grilled through extreme rain.
Yeah.
Monsooning. I'm cooking everybody's lunch, and I had to throw out like 9 burger patties after because they got drenched, which was a shame. It was a lot of raw beef ended up in the garbage can, but it was all worth it because it was nice to have my friends over.
Anthony McCarron watched you throw that beef in the...
And cried. Anthony loves him some burgers.
Anthony was hungry.
He rides that thing. What do you call that thing? The Peloton?
Yeah.
He's burned too many calories that morning.
He's in such good shape. He's the nicest guy on planet Earth, and he had an appetite on Sunday afternoon.
He sure did.
All right. Well, this has been the Shay Anything podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review if you haven't already. We love hearing from you. SNY.tv/Shay Anything. Say hello. Goodbye. We'll talk to you next week.